can pray for that. Let's go ahead and open up to Judges, the book of Judges. Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. And I guess just by way of introduction, obviously, real familiar passage here. You have the life of Samson, and pretty interesting character to look into, and all that the Lord did through him. I told you guys to go to chapter 13. We really won't read anything in chapter 13 except for the last two verses. But you look in Judges, and of course, out of the whole entire Bible, you've got five chapters that basically cover the whole life of Samson. You have it covers his whole life, but really his life starts in chapter 13, verse 24. So you have four chapters and two verses that basically cover his whole entire life. You have another verse, of course, where his name is named in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe. And of course, the Old Testament, you look at him, and I guess by way of introduction, I'd just like to say that it's pretty amazing how the Lord, I'll say it this way, the Lord has an amazing ability to work with whoever he can, right? The Lord will take something and he'll just use it. And it's really an amazing thing. I mean, we could go through a list of a lot of things. We could probably all stand up and talk about how the Lord did something through us. And it may not be anything crazy and big like that, but when you consider what he's working with, it's pretty amazing, right? We'll just start there. So chapter 13, verse 24, it says this. It says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him." And so, of course, from the beginning of Samson's life, he had the Lord's blessing. And as we've heard some sermons on, everything depends on the Lord's blessing. And so right off, he has that blessing. Now, we know that from his birth, he is a Nazarite. So there was no grape that entered into his mouth of solids or liquids, right? We know all of what went into that. We know that if he came into contact with something dead, of course, he was supposed to shave his head. And of course, you had that whole process of being a Nazarite and purifying yourself, and you shaving your hair. And of course, we know that he didn't get a haircut. And it's pretty interesting how the Lord, puts his servants through things and forces him to get a haircut, and it wasn't a pleasant situation for him. But still, I mean, the Lord has an amazing ability to work with whatever he can, and he did. He worked with Samson. Chapter 13, verse 25, and it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." I guess I'd like to talk for a second just about the Lord's initiation. Not an initiation process to enter something, but the Lord initiated it, right? And the Lord is always willing to use us, right? And a lot of the times he will initiate something with us to try to use us. And the Lord, his Spirit, it says at the end of that, or at the beginning of that verse, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times." And he wanted to use Samson. And so he initiated him into that work, and he would begin, and he just kind of would maybe test the waters a little bit and just try to move him on something small, right? And of course, we don't know necessarily what that was, but he began to use him, and he tried to use him. And so we're going to look a little bit tonight about what the Lord, this is not the title of the message yet, I'll give that in a little bit, but just what the Lord used in Samson. And so before we go any farther, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we just thank you for the time that we have here, and just able to gather around your word. And I just pray that you would use this sermon, Lord, coming from a marred vessel, Lord. We all know what can happen if you don't involve yourself in it. And so, Lord, we fall at your feet here tonight, and we ask you to involve yourself in this, Lord. I pray that you'd wash me in your blood, Lord. I don't want to say anything that would be offensive to you. And I just ask you to please help me, Lord. And please help these thoughts that are on paper, Lord, to come out in good fashion. And I just pray that you'd bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 25, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times." It's amazing. You look at what the Lord can do, and really through the whole Bible, we could all pick our own character that we want to look at. But you know, you have Moses, and he's an 80-year-old man, and the Lord decides to use him to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness. An 80-year-old man. And he was able to do that, and the Lord used him. And you look at David, and it's just a young shepherd boy. And you know, you look at the beginning of their life, and he was just a nobody. There was really no reason for him to be picked, and yet the Lord took a young shepherd boy, and that man became Israel's greatest king, next to Jesus Christ. You have Peter, James, and John, right? You have three mean, brash mariners. And what do they become? They become pillars in the early church. And the Lord uses those men. You have the Apostle Paul. You have a zealot, a religious zealot who hates Jesus Christ and hates what he stands for. And then what does he do? He becomes one of the greatest witnesses of Jesus Christ. And he probably is a man that we would consider to probably have the closest relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's what was available for the Lord to use. And so that's naturally what the Lord used. You have Josiah, what, an 8-year-old king. And what does he do? He breaks the chain of a sinful nation. Just long enough, it's like they have a revival, but the Lord still says, he goes, I am going to take vengeance on this sin, though. And yet Josiah still acts, and he acts on his conscience and what he heard through the scripture, and he breaks that chain of sin. We heard Brother Peacock preach about the maniac of Gadara, right? You have a man possessed by a devil who is freed from the devil, and what does he do? He goes and he's told to tell of what great things he had done for thee. And he does. And what? Why? Why? Why is that? What is? Well, that's what was available for the Lord to use. So that's what he used. What do you have? You come in here and there's a congregation of what? A bunch of messed up, weird people, right? And what is it? The Lord has allowed us to become what? A light in Coon Rapids. Why? Well, because it makes sense. That's what was available, right? That's what was available, so the Lord used it. And so, you know, you then move into Samson's life, and we want to look at, okay, what was available then? And, you know, one thing, there was, so World War II started September 1st of 39. It ended of the 2nd of 45. And then, of course, in 1950, we started the Korean War, right? And it was an interesting thing because technologically, we were behind. We were still stuck in World War II era weaponry. And so a lot of the time in Korea, you had a lot of our GIs, and they were using World War II weapons. And a lot of the times, a lot of those weapons that were used in World War II were brought back to their the American arsenal, and they had to be fixed up, and the firing pin is broken, so they would replace that gun, but then that would just go back into circulation in the Korean War. And that's what they had to use, because that is what was available. They had to use what was available. And so then we come to Samson, and you look at what was available. And in verse 25, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan." And the Lord begins to work with Samson, and he begins to move Samson. And They began to use him as a judge for Israel, and he began the possibility of a great work. And I know that the work of the salvation work of Jesus Christ is a great work for us. But he wants to go farther than that, right? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so the Lord started the possibility of that great work. And I don't really know how much time went before between verse 25 of chapter 13 and verse 1 of verse 14. Chapter 14. Sorry, nervous. I don't know how much time passed. But it's kind of interesting because you have the Lord stepping in and he's trying to move him and he's trying to use him. And I don't know what it was, but I don't know what Samson's first impression was of the Lord using him. I don't know if it was excitement. I would imagine so. But there was something that happened. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just his, if you want to say, life's choices, the decisions that he made. And of course, you have this great setup for a great work that can happen. And then you read the rest of his life, and it's just like, what? Like it's just like, what in the world? And you look at his whole entire life and careful to say something about, one of the Lord's saints and things like that, but I go to Hebrews chapter 11 and I'm just like, Lord, really? I mean, how could you? I mean, you can use me so you can use anything, but like, really? There's just something that's off. And so there were some things available for the Lord to use. And this is a road that we don't want to go down, but Samson went down that road. And so there are some things that Samson left for the Lord to use, and so the Lord used them. And it's a scary thing, it's a very sad thing, but it's also a sobering thought for our lives. What is it in our life? What are you leaving for the Lord to use? It's something good to ponder. So what does the Lord use? Well, let's look at chapter 14, verse 1. It says this, and Samson went down to Timnath, saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. And let's see, look at verse 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased him well. Now, the title of my message tonight is What Samson Left the Lord. That is the title. What Samson Left the Lord. And so we're going to see some things here that, well, this is what it was available, and the Lord needed a judge to judge Israel. And so he said, okay, that's what you're going to leave me? I don't think you want to go down this road, but okay, I'll use that. I'll use this. And the first thing that you see that the Lord uses in him is his own personal lust. That's a scary thought. The fact that that wasn't the Lord's will. That's not what the Lord wanted to use. But he said, oh, that's what you're giving me, Samson? That's what it is? Okay. Okay, let's play that game. I'll use that. And of course, we all know where Samson's life, his life ends. And we'll get into that more. But that's what the Lord used. And so what is it? It's a marriage with an outlandish woman. Right? His ministry, if you want to call it that, it begins with open disregard for God's law. That's what was available, though. So the Lord said, okay, fine. If you want to do that, I can use that. And listen, that lust burned inside of him. This was written really quickly. And it wasn't written quickly, but it was like crunch time. So you're going to have to give me extra time here to kind of browse the notes. I apologize. Anyways, but listen, it was, if you look at, I'm sorry, okay? I got to do this. I got to do this. I don't know. I don't know what that is. But we're going to go with it. The Lord's going to use it, okay? That's all I have, okay? But listen, what was it? That lust burn inside of him? And that burn inside of him, and he allowed that thing to get control of him. And you know, his life verse for their marriage was probably what? It's better to marry than to burn, right? So he goes, okay, we might as well, I'm gonna get married. I mean, hey, at least he married her, right? I mean, yeah, he was going directly against some of God's law, but okay, so it's like, well, you know, I know it probably shouldn't, but I'll marry her. Right, I'll at least marry her, you know, and of course we'll get into it a little bit later, but we know what happens later down in his life. But listen, this personal lust, it doesn't just end here. It's a progression. There's a progression of severity to it. It doesn't just stop here. Look at chapter 16. Look at 16 verse 1. Says, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in under her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And listen, you know, you look at this now, and again, there's a progression to all of these things, and what is it now? Listen, everybody knows what she is. Everybody does. Everybody in town knows what she is. And now Samson is no longer marrying somebody, but what is he doing? He's hooking up with somebody. He's coming into a Philistine town, and everybody is watching this. Everybody is watching this, and everybody knows what's going on. And you know, he doesn't even hide it. He doesn't. Now he's not even hiding it. Now it's like, this is what I want, and what is it? He's driven by his own personal lust. What do those fleshly lusts do? They war against the soul. And as Samson had that war going on inside of him, what happened? Oh, that lust won. It won. Verse 3 says, and Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight, took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts. And listen, you know, it's kind of interesting because I was reading through this and I was looking at this and I'm like, okay, wait a second. We know what he's going for, but he's going into a Philistine city. There is absolutely no lack. There's no lack of There is a lack of shame. He has no shame. He doesn't even blush at his sin anymore. You know, your sin should make you want to hide. And what does he do? He carries the gates of the town on his shoulders. I mean, is that not like, it's like, wow, okay, so we're and it's just it's becoming this horrible thing. And listen, you don't want to go down that road. You don't want to go down that road. You don't want the Lord to have to use these things in your life. And look at verse 4, and it says, and it came to pass after that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. You know, you don't, listen, this is not what you want the Lord to use. So I don't know. I don't know what you've left for the Lord to use. But this is what Samson left for the Lord to use. So the Lord said, okay, let's go down this road. Let's do this. And so what did he leave for the Lord? Oh, he left his personal lust. And that's what the Lord had to use. If you will, go to chapter 15. Go to chapter 15. Look at verse. Well, before we get into it, I guess I'll just start in verse 1 and kind of synopsize some of the chapter. But it came to pass within a while after... A while after, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And of course, this is before his first wife gets killed. And She's now been given to another person in verse 20 of chapter 14. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. So now his wife is a wife to somebody else. And he goes in verse 2, and her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And so what does he do? He goes out and he catches 300 foxes and he ties their tails together and puts a firebrand in between them. And they go out and he lets them loose in the cornfield, and it burns all the cornfield of the Philistines. And the Philistines are saying, whoa, what's going on here? And they're like, well, it's that the lady in Timnath, it's her and her dad, they're Samson's getting back at him. And so in verse 6, it says this, then said the Philistines, who hath done this? They answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Edom. Now there's something else that the Lord had to use in Samson, and it was anti-scriptural. It was not right for Samson to do this. But what was it? It was in verse 7, and Samson said, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. What did the Lord use of Samson? What was left for the Lord to use? Personal retribution. What? I'm going to get even with those people. That's what the Lord had to use. And listen, the Lord doesn't need any help with vengeance. You guys know the verse. The Lord doesn't need any help in that area. What? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And he's very specific about that. I think it was late 1800s, you had George C. Fremont. He was a big expeditionary, and he had Kit Carson with him, and they were traveling west, and they were exploring everything, and they came up to the Oregon California territory, and they were in there, and they were investigating everything out there and figuring out what to do with it. And they stopped one night, and they were camping, and they had some Delaware Indians with them for trackers and things like that. And there was one guy there that was a personal friend of Kit Carson, and he said that one night they were sleeping there, and all of a sudden there was a noise that he heard, and it was like a dull thudding sound. And he said he awoke, and he asked the Frenchman, and he said, you know, what's going on? And there was no answer. And he yelled over to him, and he said, what are you doing? And he looked over, and he grabbed his gun, and he went over to him, only to find this Frenchman's head split open by an axe. And he saw this, according to the writer, a horror of a sheen, and it was the gray matter of his brain. And these Indians that attacked him were the Klamaths, I think that was the tribe that attacked them. And they also killed one of the Delaware Indians that was a young kid, and he was pretty close to Carson. And so they decided at that point, George Fremont said, we're not doing any more exploring. He says, we are going to, according to the writer, exact retribution. And they began to try to track these Indians, and they found them. And they found their little fishing village. And they dwelt among lakes, and so they went there, and when they finally found them, they went in there and they absolutely wiped out everything. They killed all the men and the boys. They say that they left the women and children alone. But they went in there, they burned everything to the ground. But the problem was, it wasn't them that attacked. It was another tribe. So this whole entire tribe is absolutely slaughtered. It was the Modocs, and they were akin to the Klamaths, but it wasn't them. And listen, you know what? Personal retribution, it never makes things better. and for Samson's life. Look, that's what the Lord used. That's all Samson offered him. And so the Lord said, okay, listen, the Philistines, they're beating up on my people, so I can use you to beat up on them, just like he used Nebuchadnezzar to beat up on them. Or you had Cortez, who went in, and what did he do? He wiped out a wicked, idolatrous Aztec tribe, right? The Lord used one man to beat up on some wicked people, right? So that's not necessarily speaking highly of Samson's personal retribution, but that's what the Lord, that's all the Lord had to use. So the Lord said, okay, I'll use that. And he did, and he had to use that, but listen, it progressed to something much worse. It didn't just end here. In verse 28, he is now chained up. He's in custody of the Philistines. He's in their Colosseum. And in verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once, what? Avenge of the Philistines for my two eyes. It's sad because the Lord didn't even enter into it. He didn't even enter into it. And that was all that the Lord could use of Samson, and so that's what he used. But you know what? The retribution, it was, he didn't care. He didn't care what the cost was. Verse 30, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. So he was openly going to commit suicide, but he didn't care at this point because it was just all about him and him being avenged of what? My two eyes. And so the Lord said, you're a fool, but okay, I'll use that. I hope that's not you. I hope that the Lord doesn't have to do that with you and me. Is that what the Lord has to use? I mean, there can be a ton of other things that the Lord may have to use, and I hope that's not the case. But listen, it was retribution no matter the cost. Remember Paul when Alexander the coppersmith was giving him trouble? What did Paul do? Well, I'll just leave him to the Lord. Remember when Shimei was cursing David? What did David do? Let him do it. It was just, he just passed it off. What did Simeon and Levi do when their daughter got raped? Oh, let's lie to them, and then we can go in there and kill them all. Yeah, that worked out well. Retribution, it never turns out good. Now the Lord, what does the Lord do? Children of Israel go out of wilderness, and Amalek attacks them. And man, you look all through that book, and you know what that Lord does? He's exacting revenge on Amalek. Why? Because they attacked the children of Israel. Just leave it to the Lord. Let the Lord do it. And so there is retribution that Samson wanted to get, no matter the cost. And believe me, it was so costly for Samson. It cost him everything. If you will, just go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, this is very familiar ground for us. But Romans chapter 12, what does it say in verse 17? It says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. What does it say in verse 19? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, and feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And you know what? The Lord had to use something in Samson. He wanted to use him. And Samson said, well, this is all I got for you. He goes, this is it. And I'm going to be avenged. And the Lord says, okay, all right. What is it? It's personal retribution. If you will, go back to Judges. Go back to Judges. And Judges chapter 16. And this is pretty sad because you watch this and you kind of play this movie real through your mind as things play out, and you get to watch it, and then you get to think about it, and You know, I was thinking about this, and you know, the Lord has him in the hall of, you know, the hall of faith or whatever you want to call it, and the Lord has him up in the New Testament. The Lord doesn't ever mention any of his sin. And I thought about that, and you know, you sit there and you read through this, and I read through this, and I just sit there and think, I'm sure glad that my life isn't penned in a book for everybody to read, right? For everybody to dissect and say, oh yeah, you did this wrong. Oh yeah, you did this wrong. You should have done this, right? So this is said with caution, but this is, you read it though, and it's just so sad. And so in chapter 16, you have the whole Samson-Delilah thing, right? And Delilah finally gets the truth from Samson. And so she says, the Philistines be upon thee, O Samson, in verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know what the Lord had to use in Samson? He had to use his personal ignorance. I mean, he didn't even know that the Lord was gone from him. I mean, you're a long way. I'm a long way if I can't tell whether or not I have the Lord with me. Now, I know, salvation, right? I mean, we get it, right? We're saved no matter what. But, man, to have that presence there and then to not even know. And the Lord used that. How did the Lord use that? Oh, well, the Lord had to get him. He had to get him over to the Philistines, into that Colosseum, right? And so the Lord says, Samson, we could have done this a different way. You know that, right? You didn't have to go down this road. You could have been satisfied what I've given you, but you had to burn in your lust. You didn't have to exact revenge. I would have been avenged, not you. You didn't have to do this. You don't have to go down this road. But he did, and so through it, says what? He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What a shame. What a shame. But that's what he left for the Lord to use. So what is the Lord going to do? Well, he's going to use it. He's going to use it. It seems like in this verse, this is the first time he is, what, personally feeling the effects of his sin. Yes, his first wife and father-in-law were murdered, but, I mean, easy come, easy go, right? Really? His friends don't mean anything to him. He just uses them as friends, right? To get what he can get. And so this time it's finally reached the point to where now Samson, the Lord puts up with for so much, and then he says, okay, I'm done. And it finally bit him, and he is now what? He's blinded. He doesn't have any eyes, and he's never going to get his eyes back. It didn't have to go this way. Listen, the hair could have grown back. Is it really that hard to get right with the Lord over something? And yet, man, we make it so hard. We make it so hard. We make it so difficult. I don't know if it was just a self-confidence, if it was a self-reliance, but that's what the Lord had to use. The Lord had to use just a personal ignorance in Samson. Lastly, I'll just say this, if you will. Let's see here. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 30. And I mentioned this already, but we'll see this. It says in verse 30, it says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon him upon the Lord and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Now, before we talk about this, I'd kind of like to rewind and go to chapter 15. And so we'll go to chapter 15 and let's look at verse 16. I'm sorry, I always do this. I'm just going to start in verse 14. It says, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called the place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. When he had drunk, his spirit came again and revived. And so what I want to say here is, what did the Lord have to use of Samson's? What did Samson leave for the Lord to use? His personal demands. And you say, I don't see a personal demand in chapter 16. No, the personal demand, you see it really come through in chapter 16. Verse 30, where he says, let me die with the Philistines. What? It was just a demand. He tells the Lord, he says, this is what's going to happen. And the Lord just says, okay. But it starts all the way back when he finds this jawbone and he has this great victory, and he never brings up the Lord in the victory. Really? Verse 16. And Samson said, who is he talking to? I wish I was there for it. That'd have been a cool thing to see. But I don't know if he has a crowd gathered. I don't know if it's the men of Judah that bound him. I think it was of Judah. But that bound him and brought him. I don't know. But he's talking to some people, and he says, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men? And you just see this thing, and it's just like, Samson, what are you talking about? How can you say this? And it's just, from 16 to 18, it's so messed up. His order is all mixed up. But then verse 18, what does he do? And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Well, why are you saying it now to the Lord? Right? Why are you sitting here and you made this big show after you killed everybody and you say, I did this with the jawbone of an ass? And then he makes this statement, and it's almost like a question, but it's like a demand, and it's like, what are you insinuating by this, Samson? What does he say? He says, Thou hast given this deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Are you really going to kill me now, Lord? What is it? He's making this, this demand, it starts out with an insinuation, right? That's how it starts. And by the end of his life, he's just saying, okay, let me die with the Philistines. But what is it? This weird insinuation, like this disrespectful implying something against the Lord. If you don't do something, I'm going to die. It's like, whoa, wait a second. How did we get here, Samson? And so what is it? They're just these personal demands that he's making. And the Lord says, okay, that's fine. If that's what you want to use, I can use that. You know, he never once thanked the Lord for any of his deliverance. And now you get to chapter 16, verse 30, and he says, let me die with the Philistines. And he does. He dies with the Philistines. And listen, now, in 1630, before, he was never really in a tight spot. But now he is really in a tight spot. And this time, it is directly because of his sin. I mean, he is here. Why? Because of his sin. And considering his position, you would assume there to be some humility. I mean, the first part of his prayer sounds somewhat humble, but then at the end of it, it's that I may be avenged. So Lord, do this for me because I am what matters. And the Lord said, okay, whatever, I'll use it. Fine. But there wasn't any humility. There was no humility. The man is, now at this point, it's given without insinuation. See, it's the severity has progressed in each one of the things that he's given to the Lord to use, or excuse me, the thing that's left for the Lord to use. That's all it is. It's just like, how could the Lord even use that? And yet he does. And so now he's not implying anything. He's just saying, just let me die with the Philistines. And so Samson left that for the Lord. That's what the Lord had to work with. That's what the Lord had to use to do what? To beat up on the Philistines. And, you know, something I was thinking about, and I feel like I think about this every time, but I don't ever want to get up here and be used of the Lord only because you need to be fed. I want to be used of the Lord because that's what he wants to do with me. And that's a scary thought, that the Lord can use something in your life and he says, okay, if that's what you want me to use, sure, I'll do it. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so I don't ever want it to be like that for me. You know, sometimes praying, getting ready, it's like, Lord, listen, I'm going to get up there and I really don't want to look like an idiot. I don't. I truly don't. But I'm standing representing you. So will you please give me something to say that can feed somebody? Right? There is that element, but again, I want it to be why? Because the Lord says, I want to use you. Listen, I want to move you at times and do something with you. But for Samson, I don't know. What else was the Lord supposed to do? That's all that Samson left him. And so I don't know what you've left the Lord. The Lord used all of these things in Samson. But the end seems so tragic, right? The end seems so hard. You know, the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. And if Samson was anything, he was a transgressor. And I know we're transgressors, but you have that fountain that you can always go back to. You have that fountain you can go back to and dip that sponge in that blood and say, Lord, will you please wash me? I don't want to do this. I'm sorry I did this, or I'm sorry I did that. And you can get that right with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, can you use me still? And the Lord says, I can use that. If he can use Samson, he can use you. If the Lord can use Samson, he can use me. And so these are the things that Samson left to the Lord. And I don't know what you've left him. But I hope that none of us go down this road. Yeah, there will be mistakes to be made and things like that. And maybe some of these things that's what we leave for the Lord to use in our life. But I mean, how many times could Samson turn around and said, "Whoa, what am I doing? How could I have gone this far?" But no, Samson just kept walking down that road. Hard heart. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, and so that's the path he chose. And so the Lord said, are you really sure you want to go down this road? Because two can play this game. And so that's what the Lord used. That's what the Lord used. What did Samson leave? He left all these things, and that's what the Lord used. And I hope that's not in your life. I hope the Lord doesn't have to use that. So let's pray. Father, we...